Okay, well, I think as I was preparing this study, I ran the gamut of every emotion, and hopefully I won't wimp out here. First of all, I have really good news for you. Jesus is coming again. And I couldn't resist doing several scriptures, several. I have two pages, but I'll try to read them quickly. But I want it to be very firm and founded in your mind. Jesus is coming again. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Matthew 24:27, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24:42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Mark 13:26-27, at that time men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Luke 9:26-27, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before you see the kingdom of God. Luke 21:25-28, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming in the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. John 14:1-4, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be there also where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Time after time after time, God tells us he's coming back, and there's more. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is your hope? What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are my glory and my joy. 2 Thessalonians 2:1, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. 2 Timothy 4:8, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Hebrews 3:7, for in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. James 5:7-9, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. 2 Peter 3:8-9, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any of you to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Revelation 22, 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Okay, I'm done now. No. I really enjoy the internet in most ways, and I just typed in the Google search, "Jesus is coming again." And the first website I found is where I found all these scriptures, but not only did I find these, I found 59 of them in the New Testament only, and they said on the website, "This is just a partial list." I chose only 18 of them to read. God wants us to know. He doesn't want any doubt in our minds that Jesus is coming again. And with that comes responsibility. The three parables for this week let us know what to do. Now that there's no doubt in your mind, I'm trusting that everyone in this room believes God's word. Every one of those things that I read were from God's word. And there are many, many, many more irrevocably saying Jesus is coming again. And so now what do we do? Now that we have that information and there's no doubt in anybody's mind, what do we do? Well, one of the things we need to do is watch. Now, I had a really interesting talk with the Lord this morning, and he showed me a few things. First of all, let me read you some definitions of the word watch. Spy on, follow, track, monitor, keep an eye on, stake out, keep under observation and under surveillance, guard, keep, look after, monitor, protect, take care of, and tend. Sometimes when you hear the word watch, you think of somebody watching TV, which has no movement to it. You just sit and take in whatever your little mind desires and shut out whatever your mind desires. Watch is an action word. It is not to be taken like watching TV. And the Lord gave me some really sweet illustrations this morning. If you have ever watched a two-year-old child, you know that watching is a very active environment. You cannot sit still and watch a two-year-old because they don't stay still for more than 2 seconds. And so watching a two-year-old or almost any child involves action. You don't just sit like you were watching TV. If a football coach says to a football player, "I want you to watch number 15 on the other team," he does not mean to that player that he should sit on the side and watch number 15 run to the goal line. He means stop him from passing you. You have to watch. He's fast. He's quick. Watching is an active thing. A watch that you wear is moving constantly. If it stops, it's broken. We cannot watch in the way Jesus is telling us to watch by sitting on the sidelines. If somebody said to me, I used to go camping a lot, and somebody said, "Watch the fire," you watch the fire, or a whole forest fire can happen in pretty quick time if we haven't had a lot of rain. So, in the knowledge that we have that Jesus is coming again, we also have a responsibility, and it's not one to just sit on a mountain and wait. The parable of the good and the evil servant is in Matthew 24, 45 to 51. The good servant is watchful. He's a ruler over all the goods of his master. He's wise and he's warned. The evil servant, I thought, was really interesting. First of all, notice he's not just an evil person. He is a servant, but he is an evil servant. And if you look up that particular word in the Greek for evil, it's kabos. I don't know Greek, so I'm making a guess at this, at that. And it means something that once was good but has gone bad. And the illustration it gives is a musical instrument that was tuned and gone off key. There's nothing more annoying than a musical instrument that was tuned and is flat, especially if it's playing with other instruments that are not. And then a fruit that has gone bad. That's what the evil term is. So because this person's a servant and is employed by his master, it says that he once was a good servant, but now has turned bad. So what do we get from this? We must be careful to be active and not lose our enthusiasm and our goal to let people know about Jesus, because he's coming back again. We need to treat his coming with an urgency and an expectancy, not with brutality and carnality. Brutality and carnality beats the other people. It criticizes. It's what our flesh does. Urgency and expectancy is exciting. And we need to treat every day as if Jesus may come back that day, because the stage is set. There's nothing to keep him from coming back. I want to read to you James 5:11, and this is from the New Living Translation. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. The tenderness and mercy that belongs to God, if he lives in you, then you should be filled with tenderness and mercy towards people who are not walking with him. Or even sometimes we have trouble being filled with tenderness and mercy towards people who are. It is our responsibility. So all my life, I've heard that Jesus is coming soon. Not just that he's coming again, but he's coming soon. So 65 years I've been hearing this. And what happens is you start to think, well, probably not. Probably not in my lifetime. I mean, I thought I would die young, and obviously that didn't happen. So I'm still here and still thinking Jesus is coming soon. And so sometimes we could become complacent. Or we could say, well, I know he's coming, but I've heard that for so long. I just don't know that he's coming within my lifetime. And he may or may not. Like I said, the stage is ready, but who knows how much time I have left, whether it's because he's coming back or whether he's going to take me home. And when that day happens, my time to watch and to help people see who Jesus is, it's done. I have no more time left. So, 2 Peter 3:8 says this, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day." We don't understand God's timing. And so, Jesus is coming soon, and my mind may say, well, I've waited 60 years. I don't think it's going to happen. But God is the one who makes the choice of the time. And soon may be a relative time to him. And we may not understand it, but he could come today. And I think it's very important that we live that way. Because I remember one time I was very upset about a situation in my own life. And I cried the whole weekend and I complained to God about what he was doing or what he wasn't doing in me, and went home on Sunday night after church. I was a good girl. I was in church. I listened to everything they said, but I'm still crying and I'm still miserable. And I'm talking to the Lord on the way home, and I said, okay, God, I'm really sick of this. I don't like this. And Very quietly, never out loud, has God spoken to me, but in my heart he said, what would you have to say to me if I took you home tonight? And I said, I would have to say, I am so sorry. I wasted this entire weekend. I wasted time feeling sorry for myself in a situation that I could not change, instead of taking care of other people, instead of ministering to other people, instead of telling people who Jesus was and that they could have victory. I couldn't do that because I didn't have my own victory, because I felt sorry for me. We don't have the right to waste time because Jesus is coming again. In the next parable, the Luke 12, 35 to 48, as you're watching and waiting, don't lose your first love or your first commitment. In verse 48b, it says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much is committed, of him they will ask the more. Pastor Malcolm and the leadership here are committed to giving us the Word of God. Every time the doors are open here, we hear what God's Word has to say. And I don't want this to make you stop coming, but because of this, much is required because much has been given to us. We can't sit back and say, I don't know, I was never told. That should never come out of our mouths. And so therefore, much is required of us. Luke 21:36 says this. Keep alert at all times and pray that you may be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. It says, keep alert. We shouldn't be sleeping or watching on the side. 2 Peter 1:10, because when you are working at something, when you are involved in something, you don't get as tired. I don't know about you, but I can work, go to the gym, be okay, go home, have dinner, sit down, and I'm out. Because I sat down, I started to rest. Now, everybody needs rest, and I like rest. It's very welcome. But in the spiritual sense, there's no time for that. The physical, yes, we have to rest. We have to be healthy. We have to be well. But spiritually speaking, we must stay alert. 2 Peter 1:10 says, so, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Why do people fall away? Because they stop realizing the urgency to let people know. They stop knowing and putting it into effect. That's when they stop. It's not the active person who's sharing the Word of God day by day who's going to think, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. But we must be watchful. Satan seeks to destroy us. That's his goal. That's his goal. And I believe this quote is from the Screwtape Letters, but the book I saw it in, it wasn't marked, but I think that's what this is from. Satan and his demons were having a meeting. And one demon said, I've got a plan. Let's whisper in people's ears that there is no God. No, Satan said. Creation declares the reality of God. People are too smart to deny his existence. A few idiots might be sucked in, but not the masses. I've got it, a second demon said. We'll say there's no hell. No, said Satan. People innately understand the need for retribution and judgment. People won't buy that. A third demon said, let me suggest how we might trick them. Instead of saying no God or no hell, we'll just say no hurry. "That's it," Satan said gleefully, and he commissioned his demons to go throughout the world whispering, "No hurry." If you've witnessed to people, I have witnessed to people, and they say, "I'm just not ready. It's just not time. No. And they don't know the urgency. And I want to shake them and say, "You might not have tomorrow, but you know, you'd get in trouble for doing that." But that's what Satan has commissioned his demons to say to people. No hurry. There's no hurry for you. There's no urgency. There's no need to tell people. There's no need to get saved to the unsaved person. There's just no hurry. You have a whole life ahead of you. Too much is given, much is required. Matthew 25, 1-13 is the last of the three parables. The 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom. The Jewish tradition for the wedding day was that the bride and her maidens would know the day, and everybody in the town would know the day that she was going to be married. However, no one would know the time. It was only the choice of the bridegroom. And when he decided it was time, he would go to get his bride. And then everybody would be ready. It wasn't like he walked in and 2 hours later she said, "I'll be there." It was, "I'm here, it's time." The bridegroom made the decision. Jesus is the bridegroom. God makes the decision as to when he's going to come and get us. And we can't at that time say, "Oh, I have one more thing I have to do." The bride must be ready. So that was the Jewish tradition, and everyone was ready to go when it was time to go. Five of the virgins trimmed their lamps with oil. Oil in the scripture represents the Holy Spirit. So as a believer, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're ready. We're working. We're watching. We're waiting. The five virgins that did not fill the lamps, they just didn't see the need at the moment. The most outstanding verse in this section to me is 25:10. "And while they," meaning the five virgins without oil, "went to buy oil," which they should have done before, "the bridegroom came to them who were ready, and they went in with him, and the door was shut." That phrase, "the door was shut." And those five virgins who went out to try to buy oil at much too late a time were outside wanting to get in, and the door was not going to open. The time of the wedding had happened, and they were left behind. We must actively watch and be ready at all times, because Jesus is coming again. In Acts 26, 29, Paul is talking to King Agrippa, and he says, actually, I'm going to start at 27. He says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." You almost persuade me to become a Christian. There was a hymn, it's a very old hymn, that always, always broke my heart when I'd hear it when I was a kid. It's called Almost Persuaded, and it was written concerning what Paul said to Agrippa. And I want to read it to you, and hopefully I can do that. "Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, 'Go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call.' Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wanderer, come. O be persuaded, Christ never fails. O be persuaded, his blood avails. Can save from every sin, cleanse you without within. Will you not let him in? Open the door." And this is the verse that I can hardly get through. almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Almost but lost. One more verse. Be now persuaded, O sinner, hear. Be now persuaded, Jesus is near. His voice is pleading still. Turn now with heart and will. Peace will your spirit fill. O turn today. I'm assuming that most of you have been persuaded, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't know Jesus. But the urgency that he's calling us to is to tell others. We can't just sit back and watch him come. We have to be working for his kingdom. They may not be close to you right now, but there are people you know who don't know him. We must be obedient and watch and be ready. His word is sure. Everything he has prophesied and said will happen has happened. And there's just that one more thing. And it is going to happen. And I don't know if we'll see the day, but we must not lose the urgency and the expectancy. Jesus is coming again. His word is sure. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to be who you've called us to be. Help us to do what you call us to do with joy and certainty that you're going to come one day and take us home, that you're preparing a place for us. Help us, Lord, to love you more every day. In Jesus' name, amen.